Amen. Well, I'm really excited. Obviously, it's nice to celebrate 9 years. It's nice to also celebrate in our new home, right? Isn't it nice and cozy? And I noticed a lot of you guys enjoying yourself, having some coffee and relaxing and, you know, praise God for His faithfulness. We have an incredible speaker tonight, and he's going to be doing a bit of teaching. And so can we pass out? There's some outlines, and, you know, he did his homework, man. He's got some PowerPoint going on for you guys. And so you be ready to learn tonight, yo. Come on now. And so, as we pass this out, I just want to, this is from their church's website, Covenant Fellowship Church. This is Reverend Dr. Min Joshua Chung. And he's the founding and lead pastor of Covenant Fellowship Church. And along with his pastoral duties, he also serves on 3 different mission boards, SIM, Global Partners, and KimNet. And he's also an adjunct professor at Urbana Theological Seminary. He received his MDiv, MA, and Doctorate of Ministry from Biblical Theological Seminary, and majored in psychology at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. And he currently resides there with his wife, G, and they have 5 kids. Right? Yeah. Just for that, he's the man. Just for 5 kids, right? And things. And they pretty much used up all the good Old Testament names. Right? So it's Joshua, Daniel, Ruth, Hannah, and Sarah. Right, so I think only Abraham and Moses is missing from this group. So maybe you need 2 more kids. Right? And so it's been a real blessing. You know, I met Pastor Min ages ago in Toronto. And I always run into a lot of his disciples. They're all over the world. In fact, there's a handful that you actually hear at SP that are from the church there in Illinois. You know, as well as you know, his ministries that the Lord's really taken him all over the place. And so it's a real honor to have him in our church. And so let's really warmly welcome Pastor Min up here to the front.
Oh, okay, quicker. I think so. I turned it on. Ah, yeah. It is on. Okay. Oh. Wow. Praise the Lord. Amen. Just wonderful to be here. First time in Hong Kong. Been to, I think, about maybe 50 countries. But Hong Kong is not a country, but first time in Hong Kong. I've been to China, you know. But really glad to be here, honored to be here. I heard a lot about your church everywhere. So really wanted to visit. And then, you know, when I met Pastor Sam in Korea, I think, you know, he invited me. He was talking about inviting me. And when I got invited, I was really excited, really glad to be here. Hope I do well so that I get invited again. So please give him some good response, even though it's bad. All right. I'm speaking 5 messages this weekend, and tonight I'll just do a little bit of overview of what I'm going to do this weekend. First, tonight I'm going to tonight I'm going to talk about the Book of Romans. I preached Book of Romans for like 6 years in our church, so I've been thinking about Romans for 6 years. So I'm going to do an overview of that to just the main points of those things. And it'll really be helpful for many of you who are especially struggling with guilt, sins. So Romans overview, just to give a picture of what God is going to do with you, with your heart, especially with your heart. Spiritual life from now to the moment of salvation to eternity. I think it'll be really helpful. Many people in our church said it's life-changing moments when they understood the concepts in Romans, so I'll do that. That's tonight. Hopefully, many people will be freed from condemnation, self-condemnation especially, or condemnation that you sense in your life. Tomorrow, morning, I'm going to talk about, through the prayer life of Jesus, some theology of prayer. And of course, it'll be helpful, but, you know, so that you'll be freed from ignorance that hinders you from, having apathy towards prayer. So as you understand why did Jesus pray, I think it'll tremendously motivate you to pray. Okay? We're going to talk about that tomorrow morning or tomorrow afternoon, 2 o'clock. And tomorrow evening, I want to talk about calling. Every single one of you have to live with the sense of calling. You are called to different spheres and realms in your life. Just like I'm called to ministry, you're called to something. What is it? I'm not going to tell you, so you come. you find out everything today, you don't come tomorrow. So you'll be freed from a purposeless life. You can tell I'm using the word freedom in every message that I talk about so far. So tonight, freedom from condemnation, hopefully. Tomorrow, freedom from ignorance that hinders you to have apathy towards prayer. Tomorrow night, freedom from purposeless life, so you learn about calling. And then Sunday, Pastor Sam commanded me to, this is my boss for the weekend, commanded me to do two messages, so that's what I'll do. In the morning, I want to talk about love. Okay? That you be free from selfishness and self-centered life. Okay? So, and then tomorrow after or Sunday afternoon, I heard a lot of young adults, young people are coming. So I want to do a lecture on knowing God's will so that you'll be free from fear of unknown future. You know how to make decisions in your life. I am going to talk about, you know, what kind of people you're going to marry and how many children you should have from the biblical perspective. So if you don't listen to that, you're going to marry wrong people. Or you're going to have wrong number of children. And you can't get rid of them, you know. So you better be there. Or at least listen online or something. So that's the game plan here. Should I do something else? Okay. So tonight, you need to think. I know it's hard for some of you. You've been working and thinking all day. But, it's something worthwhile that you need to study in your life. So let's pray one more time and depend on the Lord. Apart from Him, we can do nothing. And nothing means nothing. Nothing spiritual, nothing worthwhile. You can become, you know, famous person. You can become a billionaire. But you still can do nothing for the kingdom of God apart from Him. So let's depend on Him. He's with us. Father, we praise You and thank You for Your grace. Thank You for Your mercy in Jesus Christ. We come in His name. And You will never turn Your face away from us because You will never turn Your face away from Jesus. And we are in Him, Lord. And we boldly approach Your throne, Father, in His name. Lavish us with Your blessings. And as we look into Your word, may because of this night, may we never be the same again. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Many of us, we live our spiritual life, we live our life, and we sin. We all sin. We still have sinful nature dwelling in us, sinful desires. And we ask for forgiveness. And we try again. We fight. Relapse. You get discouraged. So you come to a retreat or revivaling once again, or Sunday service once again, Bible study once again. And you commit once again. Hope of perfection. But we fall, and some of you get very discouraged. Some of you are about to quit. So some of you still want to try again, but some of you may be very cautious for next possible chance of commitment because you don't want to fail again. And you may be thinking, can a person like me be used by God? According to the Bible, the answer to that is resounding, of course. You know, God uses me. God uses Pastor Sam. We're all like that, one degree to another. But God is going to use us. God is at work. He is not through with us yet. Okay? So, as we look into the book of Romans, sometimes when you take a snapshot, we get really confused. But when you look at the big picture of what's going on and what's going to happen, we can be strengthened. Oh, we're in the process of something. If you have children, you understand. They think it's, you know, wherever you go, well, Hong Kong is a little less, but, you know, when you drive in America, you drive for hours, they always ask, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? And then I have to say, if you ask that one more time, you're going to stay here, we're going to leave. Of course, we don't, but they don't. At least they don't ask that question once again, right? But they're just thinking short duration of time and where they are. But if you have a big picture, it helps you. Oh, we got 10 hours left. So you don't ask that question, you start to do something to occupy your time. You don't ask that question, are we there yet? Many times we are like that. We're just so short-sighted. We worry. We look at ourselves and we're thinking, what is going on? But when you have a big picture of what God is doing in eternity, I think every one of us will be assured because God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. Can we hear amen to that? Can we say amen to that? So, we're going to have a big picture of what's going on, so that we can understand what is happening right now. This Romans is deep because it talks about the core of our hearts. It's wide because it is relevant to every human being. It's high because it talks about the heavenly one, our God, who's mighty and awesome. It's also low. It talks about hell, the wrath that is coming for people who do not know Christ. It's long because not only the sermon will be long, but it's long because it talks about eternity. Now, today's sermon will be long because I'm going to try to be as short as possible, but it's going to be long. So if I'm long, I think you're going to miss Pastor Sam. Okay? And his length. I know he I heard he preaches long, but he's not preaching long in my standard. And you're going to... My goal is to edify the church. You're going to miss him. That's what we're going to do. So? There's a chance I could be invited again now. Okay. All right. So we're going to talk about Romans. Okay. Let's map it out, our spiritual life. So if you look at the outline, first of all, look at this. Overview of Romans. Overview of Romans, first point. So we'll do, because we're not going to do the whole book, so in details I'll do some overviews. And then secondly, Romans and missions. There are four main points in Romans, chapter 1 through 4, justification, 5 through 8, glorification, 9 through 11, redemptive history, 12 through 16, missions. So we'll do brief overview of those things, okay, as we look into the passage. Okay. Overview of Romans. Oh, this is awesome. We don't have any of these stuff. That's awesome. Gospel of God. Okay? Romans is the gospel of God. Many times when we say gospel, we think gospel of Christ. Right? But as we look into Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, it says gospel of God. Paul, a servant of Christ, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. Okay. Now, Jesus Christ is God. Holy Spirit is God. God the Father is God. So which God is this talking about? You're going to realize as we look into the context, this is talking about God the Father. So Romans, of course, some places it talks about gospel of Christ, but mainly is from the perspective of God the Father who's orchestrating everything in history. And he's your Heavenly Father because we are in Jesus Christ. So this is gospel of God. Set God the Father from Father's perspective. Set apart for the gospel. Because verse 2, it says, gospel who he promised beforehand through the prophets in Holy Scripture regarding his Son. So obviously verse 1, he's talking about God the Father. And then also he says in verse 4, who through the Spirit of holiness, talking about the Holy Spirit. So as you can see, Paul many times is Trinitarian, and there's distinction of persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And you need to carefully look at these things because they're significant. Okay? But especially, Romans is the gospel of God the Father from his perspective, how he sees it. Now, you know this, these verses in Romans, 8, 38, 39, I read this verse many times, but not from this perspective. Look at this. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God. I always thought that's love of Christ, but is it? Love of God. Is it Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? That is in Christ Jesus. So, again, gospel of God. This is Father's love because we are in Jesus Christ. So Father's love for the Son, Father's love for us, because we are in Jesus Christ. So this is the gospel of God. As you look at the, as you read the whole chapter from this perspective, it really makes sense what he's doing to us in Jesus Christ. Quickly, second thing is the need for the gospel. Right? We have to look at this diagram of why do we need the gospel? Why do we need to be saved? Well, is it okay to walk down here? Okay. Are you? Is this okay? Oh, thank you. Oh, huh? Oh, okay. Look at this. Is that what it is? Oh, that's awesome. I'm hillbilly from Champaign, Urbana here. All right. Here we go. Romans 1 through 4, basically, the chapter, these chapters are saying we are born as sinners. We are sinful. So this is our hearts before we came to know Jesus Christ. How many of you know Christ? This is what you were like before you knew Christ. Okay? Now, when we are, this is chapter 1 through 4, because we are born with sinful nature, that's, you know, made up of sinful desires, we needed Christ. So when we put our faith, and chapter 5 is saying we're in Adam. The reason why we have sinful nature, sinful desires, because we are in Adam. Just like Adam who sinned, we were born with his DNA in our hearts. So we are in Adam. We're sinners. Okay? But when we put our faith in Jesus, right, who died for us on a cross, now we are in Jesus Christ. This is chapter 1 through 4, chapter 5, chapter 6, our union with Jesus Christ. When we put our faith in him, this is you. Whoop, now you're here because we're in Jesus Christ. So when we examine our hearts, even though we were like this in Adam, now we're this. Okay? When we're in Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit comes inside of our hearts. Now we have Spirit's nature, spiritual nature. We have DNA of Jesus Christ inside of us as well, spiritual desires. But Bible talks like we only have this nature, but Bible also says that we still have sinful desires and sinful nature inside of us. Now, that's why there's battle inside of us. Is there a battle inside of you? I don't know about you, but I'm fighting every day, okay, against sin. So Paul, when Paul talks about his struggle, he's mainly talking about this. Chapter 7. And when he talks about victory in Jesus Christ, he's talking about chapter 8. So 7 and 8, he's talking about human struggle. Some people think being Christian is being sinless. I would say being Christian means there's struggle. There's fight. Okay? So when you're fighting, that's a good sign, guys. Can you hear amen to that? Amen. That means the Spirit of God is working in your hearts and helping you so that you would hate sin and love Christ more. That's what chapter 7 and chapter 8 is right here. And then in heaven, And we'll describe this. We'll talk about this. But in heaven, one of these days, this will be gone. When Christ returns, we'll only have this in heaven. And main doctrine in Romans 1-8 is justification and glorification, which is what we'll talk about. So that's why we need Christ. There you have overview of 1-8. You're sitting here getting in 5 minutes. It took me 6 years. Figure it out. That's why we need Christ. Okay? Let's keep on going with overview. Third thing about the overview of Romans. Romans talks about love that is eternal. Okay, eternal love in Jesus Christ. So, you know, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. When he talks about love, it's talking about God's love equals justification, which is mainly chapter 1-4, and glorification, chapter 5-8. Justification means we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we are justified in Jesus Christ, that means birth. Okay? We are born again. Born as a child of God. Glorification, which Romans 5-8 is talking about, how we are being glorified. We are being glorious because DNA of Jesus Christ has come into our heart. We're becoming more like Jesus, and that's what he's committed to. And all chapter 5-8 is talking about glorification process, okay, which will happen eternally. That means his love for us is substantial. That means his love for us is, you know, eternal. And it's not just feeling, but his commitment toward us eternally. Right? Biblical love is different than worldly love, right? We're going to talk about this a little bit more on Sunday, I think. But worldly love is more of feeling, present romantic feeling. One may have now, but may not have tomorrow. That's why I fall in love. I'm in love with you. What do you mean? I feel like hugging you, kissing you. I fell in love. Problem is of you falling in love is you can fall out of love. Right? What you mean is, oh, I feel like hugging you. I feel like kissing you. But when you see another person, whoa, I fell in love. It's more of a present feeling towards someone or something. Right? But Bible says love is future commitment. In fact, eternal commitment that will not change until death, of course, within context of marriage, but eternally, okay, in Jesus Christ. That is why wedding commitment, I officiate a lot of weddings in our church too, but I know Pastor Sam does too, but wedding commitment, I don't ask, do you love her now or do you love him now? I say, will you love her? Will you love him? For life. That's why the world says love is shown in the hand that holds the rose. But God says love is shown in the hands that were nailed to the cross. That's eternal love in Jesus Christ. Let's keep going. Fourth thing about Romans, scope of the gospel. Good news. Gospel means good news, right? Most of the times when we think about the gospel, we're thinking about the cross. We're thinking about Jesus for dying for us on a cross. But the scope of the gospel in Romans is not only Jesus dying for us, saving us, which is what we're talking about, justification, which is 1-4. But there's also not only him saving us, but continuously helping us to grow eternally, which is chapter 5-7, whole glorification process. He's also thinking about Jews and, you know, Romans 9-11 is talking about Jews and Gentiles, but he's really thinking about history of redemption. What the Father is doing in Jesus Christ, how he is saving not only the whole world, but generations of the whole world. Whole humanity, redemptive history, as well as 12-16, he's talking about missions. When we talk about mission, it's not just we're not just talking about going cross-culturally. We're talking about wherever you are, with all the believers in Jesus Christ, everywhere, wherever you are is your mission field. And we need to show Christ and change the world, which we will talk about, which is chapter 12-16. So this is the whole scope of the gospel is a lot wider than you just being saved. not going to hell or just going to heaven. Very shallow perspective of the gospel, but this is the whole plan of the gospel, a lot more wider than we think. Okay? So we will talk about this. We will use these four things as our outline: justification, glorification, redemptive history, and missions to help us. Are you still with me? Amen? All right, we'll keep going. Now let's go to the main part, Romans and missions. That was just intro of Romans, at least. Now, let's talk about those four things. First of all, justification. What is justification? Well, justification is, it's really about approval. Okay? Approval of God, approval of the Father, God, for us. All of us are concerned about somebody's approval. Many times in our sinful nature, human nature, we are always concerned about approval of someone. Why do you care about other people looking at you? When somebody says you look ugly or something like that, then you get angry because we're seeking for their approval. Why are you fearing people? Because we're seeking for somebody's approval. Why do you like it? Why does it make you so happy if somebody says, "Wow, you're great, you're awesome, I love you"? I think why do we? Because we are seeking for their approval. Some of you are seeking for your own approval, right? It doesn't matter what other people say. Ultimately, what I think of myself is the most important thing. But according to the Bible, what we should be concerned about is the approval of God. At the end of the day, at the end of our life, at the end of history, that's all that's going to matter. Okay? What God thinks of us, and justification is His approval of us because we are in Jesus Christ. Now, let's talk about this justification. Three things about justification. First of all, about our sins. All right? We all have sin in our hearts. It's about our sin. What does God the Father think of our sin as we are in Jesus Christ? We put our faith in Jesus Christ. Here we go. When God sees my sins, He doesn't see it because Jesus died as, remember that, look at that word, as me. Okay? Of course, Jesus died for me, but more, it's more than that. We are in such union with Jesus Christ. We are so united to Jesus. When Jesus died for me, it's like Jesus died as me. A lot deeper, if you think about that. So, you have no, even if you sin right now, if you're in Jesus Christ, He sees as if your sins are gone because Jesus died as you. That's justification, part of justification. Second thing about justification then, so when he looks at righteousness of Jesus, Jesus is as righteous, He's sinless, He's righteous. When God sees Jesus' righteousness, right? That means Jesus lived as me. That means you are, right now, if you have faith in Jesus Christ, as righteous as Jesus in God the Father's eyes. Even if you just committed sin, even if you are going to commit sin tomorrow, when God sees you, even though I see you, I think you're a sinner. If you see me, I think I'm a filthy sinner, right? When we look at each other, but God the Father sees you because you're in Jesus Christ. He sees Christ in you. You are as righteous as Jesus Christ. Can we amen to that? Even if you have committed sin tomorrow, even if you just committed sin now, you're committing sin right now because we have sinful desires, sinful nature. We are constantly sinning still. But we are justified. He sees as if you only have this side. You know that heart, the white part of the heart? That's how He sees you, Father sees you, because you're in Jesus Christ. That means every single one of us in Jesus Christ, we are as righteous as Jesus Christ. Can we remember that? Isn't that awesome? Not because of our righteousness, but because of the righteousness of Jesus. Nothing to boast about except we exalt in Jesus Christ. We praise Him, we worship Him. And He alone deserves all the praise and honor and glory. Any praise that exists in this world, that's why He deserves it. Can we amen to that? Never be too impressed by human beings. They'll sin. And when they sin, don't be too surprised. Only exalt Jesus Christ. Only praise Him, worship Him, honor Him. I'm getting excited way too early here. Sorry about that. Now, when we think about the Father's love, we talked about this a little bit. So because we are in Jesus Christ, remember that Christ, and we're in Christ, that's how God sees us. Our sins, Jesus died as us. Our righteousness, we are as righteous as Jesus. Love, when God sees me with love, I am loved as much as he loves Jesus. Meaning, he loves you because you're in Jesus Christ. Father, God loves you as much as he loves Jesus. Remember that passage, we see the love of the Father for the Son. This is Father's relationship with the Son, eternal relationship. You have to understand that Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, they're one God but three persons. What in the world does that mean? I don't know. Because there's nothing else like it that we can really completely understand. It'll probably take whole eternity for us to understand more and more. But what we understand is Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit has such love for one another. Eternally, they've been pouring forth love for one another in their relationship. And we can see the glimpse of that when Jesus is getting baptized. What happened? Father says, this is my Son whom I love, whom I'm well pleased with. When he sees you, of course, only time that was in some sense hindered was when Jesus was dying on the cross in our behalf, taking all of our sins, right? But when he sees you right now because of Jesus, he loves you as much as he loves Jesus. He will not love you less because you sin. He will not love you more because you came to church today. He already loves you with eternal, infinite love. Cannot improve love, cannot decrease love. Eternal, infinite, maximum love because you're in Jesus Christ. Can you hear amen to that? That's justification. So think about that. That's who you are in Jesus Christ. Okay? Now we'll answer some questions. Okay? Some practical questions. I always get these questions from people, so I just did it once, so they won't ask me again. I think it'll be helpful. Can I really repent again and again and I only wrote two times, but again and again and again and again and again, you know what I'm talking about. We always doubt God's love for us because we think God is like human being. We think God is like our fathers, human fathers, or we think God is like us because we can't do that. But can we really repent again and again and again? Yes. How many of you heard of the phrase second chance? God gives second chance. Only problem with that is, what about third time when we sin? I think when Bible talks about, or when we think about second chance, we need to think this way. Okay? First chance was when we were in Adam, sinned. But because we are in Jesus Christ, our whole life is second chance. We can go to him again and 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 again. Come on, help me out. Again and again and then. Do you guys know a Korean pop music song called 2PM? They sing a song called Again and Again and Again and Again. It's basically about this guy who's obsessed with a girl and I'm crazy. Why am I going to her house again and again? That's what he's talking about. He's obsessed with her and that's what he's talking about. And let me say this. God the Father, because you are in Jesus Christ, he's obsessed with you. And you can go to him for all your life. No matter what you do in your life, you can go to him again and again. Come on, again and again and again. Our church guys are sick of it when I do that. And then I said, hey, that's God's grace for us. Let's praise him again and again and again and again. So by not doing that, you're like degrading God. Okay? Our God is gracious and merciful eternally because we are in Jesus Christ. Let's go to another question, which is, what about abuse of grace? Immediately, some of you are thinking, what about abuse? You know those people, or we are like this at times. Well, then I'm going to sin, and I'm going to go to him again. I'm going to sin one more time. I'm just going to repent, before you sin. And we all have done this, You go to drug addict, they're always like that. One more time. There's always one more time. And then I'll just stop. And a lot of times we're like that. That's why Bible in the Bible, there's what we call consequences of sin. So, not consequences of sin is not because God hates you, but because God loves you. Because you're hurting yourself. You're destroying yourself. There's consequences of sin. That means there are two ways to be broken. Either through the Word of God, then you're broken spiritually, or circumstances. Either Word of God and repent with tears, or car accidents, broken legs. You choose. Yeah, I mean, it's not that bad, but, you know, it could be. Okay? Two ways to be broken. Some people go through hardships and difficult times, and they think, God hates me. Let me say this. If God hated you, can you look at me? If this is earth, this is you, with this God's omnipotent power, no two particles will be left together in your body. I mean, you'll be gone. If God hated you, you wouldn't even exist right now. Because God loves you, okay? Because God loves you, you may go through hard times and difficult times. Anything we go through in our lives is His mercy so that we can turn back, we can grow, we can become strong, we can be more like Christ. It's this loving touch. Just touch. Otherwise, we'll be destroyed by now. So you choose. Okay? So no abuse of grace, I pray. Amen? Third question, another question is, why do I still feel guilty after repenting? Okay? If I'm justified in Jesus Christ, why do I feel guilty? That's why Romans chapter 8, verse 1, he says, now there's no condemnation from the Father, from God the Father. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Then why do you feel guilty? Because you are condemning yourself. And that's as sinful as you condemning other people, according to the Bible. Only God can condemn people. Can we amen to that? Only God is the judge. And why do you condemn yourself? That's as bad as condemning other people. So don't condemn other people and don't condemn yourself. So after confessing your sin, repenting of your sins, you learn from that. And sometimes you have to move on and not think about it rather than constantly condemning yourself. That is, again, that is as sinful as you condemning other people. And you have no right to do that either for yourself, neither for yourself nor other people. So do not do that. I pray that you'll be free from these things. Then why do I repent if I'm forgiven and justified? Right? Two reasons. To hate sin. Right? To be broken, to be hating, to be broken away from sin. To be broken, first reason. Second reason, so that you can love Christ more. Okay? That's why you repent. Not because you are not forgiven, you're already forgiven in Jesus Christ, but you're talking about that sin, you're bringing that sin to God so that God can help you to hate that sin. Okay? Because if you don't repent, you still have the pleasure of that sin, taste of sin, and you're going to go back. Our sin, our nature, our desire means we are addicts. Right? I want to go back to that dim sum lunch. You know, this was awesome. This was probably one of the best dim sum I had. And when you have good lunch, you don't go, I never want to go back there again. Human beings are not like that. When we like it, we want to go back again. Right? Our sins are like that. If you do not repent, you're going to go back. So we repent so that we would hate that sin because that's going to hinder your love for Christ in your heart. I pray that that's what you'll be doing during Lenten season. One of the few churches that I know that understands Lenten season and keep it. You fast, so you feast. You fast from sins, fast from unnecessary things, so that you feast on Christ. I pray that that would happen. There we go. Some of you then listening to all that and go, I'm still struggling with sin. I'm addict to sin. My dim sum lunch is sin. I have taste for it. I want to go back again. Can I be free today? So I've been thinking about it. And I've been praying. I pray that tonight there'll be three kinds of freedom. One is freedom from condemnation, so that you won't feel guilty, okay? But rather you will have hatred for sin so that you'll grow in love for Christ. You'll be free from condemnation, understanding justification, what we talk about today. Second freedom is freedom from certain sins. Some of you are addicts of something, okay? Whether it's drug, whether it's, you know, eating disorder, whether it's, you know, sexual addiction, pornography, all kinds of things in here, represented here. And I pray that you'll be free from certain things. I pray that miracle will happen. And you being free from those things when our hearts are addicted to those things is a miracle. I pray that that will happen tonight. So freedom from condemnation, freedom from certain sins. Third kind of freedom, I pray, is freedom from discouragement. That you be, after tonight, after this weekend, you'll be so encouraged to fight. You may fall again, but it's towards a direction of growing, towards a direction of loving Christ. If you're gonna fall, you're going to fall down, and you're still going to roll towards the narrow path, unpopular path, following the footstep and back of Christ. Now, I pray that that will happen. So if you understand justification, stupidest thing you can do is just sit there and be discouraged. Because you can always go to Him again and again and again. And He wants you to grow. He wants you to love Him. Think about it. Parent will understand. When I have not seen a parent who counts their child when they're learning how to walk, how many times they fell down. I always see how many times, even though they may have fell down 100 times, they say, 3 steps they walked, and they put it on a Facebook and stuff like that. And that's exactly what God is like. He doesn't think about how many times you fell down, but He thinks about how many steps you have taken because you're justified in Jesus Christ. Boy, another question. Should I commit again? I pray that tonight, you know, you'll be committing yourself. This weekend, you'll be committing yourself once again wholeheartedly to the Lord. Okay? And many of you don't want to commit again. Okay, I'm going to commit to quit my blank, whatever it is. Okay, many of you don't want to commit again because you fear failures. You're afraid to fail again. Let me say this. Commitment. What is the important thing about commitment? Commitment is not about just keeping it. That's not the goal of your commitment. Goal of your commitment is not keeping it. Goal of your commitment is while you're trying to keep it, that you grow through it. Okay? That's just what it is. Because we all, I made about maybe a few hundred commitments in my lifetime as a Christian. A lot of them. And then let me confess to you, I failed in probably every single one of them. Sometime in my life. But why was that good for me? Because while trying to keep it, I grew through that process. How many of you made a resolution to read the whole Bible in the beginning of the year? And you always get stuck in Leviticus. Oh, it's fine. And you endure through Deuteronomy. Leviticus. But thing is, you have read from Genesis to Leviticus. Can we amen to that? That's still word of some word of God. That's how God sees you. Again, commitment is not about keeping it, but while you're trying to keep it, you grow through that process. Can we amen to that? He sees how it's not about perfection, it's about progression. So, make a commitment again. Tonight, whatever it is that you're making a commitment to, or this weekend, it's okay to fail, okay? But while you're trying to keep it, you're going to grow through that process. Keep on making commitments. When God sees you, He doesn't see your failure. He sees that you have succeeded in between the failures. You have grown in between the failures. That's what commitment is about. Pastor Sam, don't you think like that when you look at them? God loves us eternally and infinitely. There is no limit to God's love for us. In Jesus Christ. That's what justification says. His love is deep because He loves all that we are, even secret and worst part of us because we are in Jesus Christ. God's love is wide because He loves any one of us, even the worst one of us. Who's that? Who's the worst one here? Yeah, He even loves you. His love is wide. His love is high because He loves with all of Himself. He doesn't just love you with His love. He loves you with His holiness. He loves you with His omnipotence. He loves with His all of His infinite being. He loves you. He's all in for you. He's all, wholeheartedly, all committed to you. If He gave His only Son, what else wouldn't He give to you? Romans chapter 8. His love is deep, His love is wide, His love is high, His love is long, because He loves us any moment, now and forevermore, even after your worst sins and failures, because you're in Jesus Christ. His love is deep, His love is wide, His love is high, His love is long. He loves us like that because we are in Jesus Christ, and there is no limit to His love for Jesus. That's how much He loves us. We got to keep going. Let's go to the second part, which is glorification. Just mapping out here. You know, this is really important in Romans 5:8. Look at this, 5:1. Are the words are so small. Yeah, it's there. Romans 5:1, it says, therefore. Very important word in Romans, right? Therefore. That means he's summarizing chapter 1 through 4. Therefore, since, and chapter 1 through 4 talks about justification, he's starting new section, which is chapter 5. Therefore, since we have been justified, that means he talked about justification, chapter 1 through 4. Now he talks about, since we have been justified, now he's going to talk about glory. The word is glory, chapter 5, verse 2. We have access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Now he's talking about glory. Okay? And then, end of chapter 8, it talks about, for those who are justified, he also glorified. So, this is what we call, literally technical, inclusio, which means, as he begins with the word glory, as he ends with the word glory, he's talking about glory. Everything in between. Glorification process. What if glorification process? Basically, it's the process where, you know, he's making us glorious. He's making us beautiful. He's making us worthy. He's making us more like Jesus, different language. Okay? Now, you're going to see this picture over here, the process. Phase one, five phases. Phase one, born without glory, Romans 3:23, where it says, for all have sinned and fell short of the glory of God. We can ask questions. Let's look at the picture. Here we go. You're missing this picture if you're not looking. There we go. Before Jesus, sin. So when we look at that, it explains questions like, what about those, some non-Christians, as you deal with Christians, you know some non-Christians who seem better than Christians. You know what I'm talking about? So many of them. How do you answer that? Well, according to the Bible, okay, even though they might be doing good-looking things, good-looking acts, their hearts is still for themselves, for their own glory. It's the motive that gives value to our actions and what we do. That's why, you know, everything we do is sinful. It's what we call doctrine of total depravity. We are sinful. We are sinners, and our hearts are filled with sin without Christ. Okay? That's phase one. Now let's go to phase two of glorification. Then what happens? Birth of the glory in us. We are born again in Jesus Christ, right? Then what happens? We looked at these verses. Here's a picture. Birth. So there's that right side. Okay? What does he say?
Spirit,
yeah. Holy Spirit comes inside of us, and then now our spiritual life that connects to God, DNA of Jesus, is born. Right? Now we have two natures inside of us. That's Christian. That's phase two. So glorification process has started. Right? God is glorious, and His nature is inside of us now. Born. Now that's when life change takes place, right? Because our desire, we actually like listening to the Word of God. We actually like praying, worshiping. There's actually joy in Christian life. This started to happen. So when did that start to happen? Some people it's gradual, some people it's sudden. But when now you know, when you have a taste bud for these spiritual things, somewhere in there it happened. Did it happen? Amen? When did that happen? It's not when you raise hand. Okay? It might have been. But like when I was young, you know, all the time people made you raise hands saying, how many of you want to become Christian? How many of you want to go to heaven? How many of you don't want to go to hell? How many of you? I raised my hand about 40 times. I don't know when I became Christian, but all I know is that I love God right now. So it happened somewhere in there, maybe 38 times, maybe second time. Okay? But that birth have taken place, that's sign of Christian. That's what it means to be born again. So that's what it means to be saved. Can we lose salvation? Oh, thank you. So this is what it means to be a Christian. So obviously, whatever we do, it'll show. Okay? Can we lose salvation again? According to this picture and according to the scripture, no. Okay? What about those people who seems like they were on fire for the Lord or whatever, and then they fell away? Right? I believe this was their heart, and this never happened to those people. You can do so many things in your life externally, but heart birth may have not have taken place. I believe Judas seems like he fell away. He became like this again. I believe Judas, that never happened. Okay? So this is what it means to be born again. That's why if this happened, you can never lose salvation. So you know those people who are on fire, and it might be your brother, it might be your parents, it might be your friend who came to church and don't come to church anymore. It's one or the other. Oh, he's either like this or like this. So if he was born again, he will come back. If he wasn't, you need to pray for his salvation. It's one or the other. If he is born again, it's like David. When you see David sinning in the Bible, he really looks like this, but his heart was like this. That's why when the word of God was preached from Nathan, he repents. Okay? So if somebody's like that, they're only going on a bungee jumping. Whoa! And then, bang, one day they'll come back. Because nothing can separate him from his love. All right, let's go to the third phase, which is growth of glory in us. Okay? That means we are continuously growing. That's why after it talks about glorification in chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, suddenly in verse 3, it talks about suffering. Why? Because if you have nature inside of us in Jesus Christ, no matter what you face, even through those things, we are going to grow. Okay? That's what it's talking about. Verse 3 says, not only so that we also rejoice in our suffering. Why? Not rejoice because of suffering, but rejoice in our suffering because we are in Jesus Christ. There's always two realms, right? Circumstance, hardship, in suffering, but spiritually we are in Jesus Christ. There's nature of Jesus Christ inside of us, and Spirit is going to work inside of us to help us grow. It says, verse 3, not only so, but we also rejoice in our suffering because we know that suffering, because of the glorious nature, DNA of Jesus Christ inside of us, we know that suffering, even in suffering, produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. Meaning, nature inside of us, in Jesus Christ, nature of Jesus Christ inside of us, through hardships and suffering, is going to develop, it's going to grow, it's going to be part of our personality, part of our character, part of what we do. It becomes who we are. It's just going to come out that way. So all the choices that we make, before we used to complain, but now in hardships we can still praise and worship God, and that glorious nature is shining like light, and people can see the love of Christ through you because it has become your character. Character, now hope. Okay? Now, look at this. You see, it's very similar to the second picture, but now both sides are growing. Now, if you are observant, you see, oh, I can see how spirit's nature is growing. Does sinful nature grow too? I think so, because we continuously sin. I don't know about, but we are growing in Christ because we know how to fight sin better. But because we continuously sin, I believe our heart is not like limited, so it's just continuously growing. Okay? Even we're continuously sinning, even in our sinful nature we're growing. Like, I don't know about you, but when I was younger, I was worse sinner. Worse in meaning, I'm worse as a sinner right now, but I used to sin in a worse, not mature way. For example, like, if I'm eating something, mom told me not to eat, I'm eating something, mom says, "Are you eating something?" I go, "No." But if after I got older, mom says, "Are you eating something?" "No." I became better sinner. And that's what happens in our lives. We still have desires and natures. We still sin, but we get better at it. We're growing in our sinful nature, but because we are growing spiritually, we know how to fight better. But, you know, we are continuously growing because Spirit inside of us, Holy Spirit inside of us, constantly pouring His love upon us. Anyway, let's go to phase five, the climax of glory in us. Okay. What is the climax of glory? Again, like hope of the glory of God. Climax of glory is when Jesus Christ returns. You know this passage when it says in 1 John 3, 2, "Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been known. But we know that when He appears," when Jesus Christ returns, "we shall be like Him." Now think about that. What does it mean that we shall be like Him? "For we shall see Him as He is." I used to think, well, we'll be as perfect as Him, we'll be as great as Him. I used to think like that, but again, 1 John, I preached about a year. I understood what this means. What it's saying is we shall be like Him means we'll be as sinless as Him. Meaning our sinful nature will be extracted when Jesus Christ comes. That's what it means. Okay? So that means all of us are struggling with sin. All of us are fighting. And when Jesus Christ returns, we'll be seeing Him face to face. And no more sin. No more selfishness. No more addiction. No more jealousy. We'll be sinless when Christ returns. Because that explains why He needs to extract sinful nature away from us, because it's constantly growing. He has to extract it. And that's what happens when Jesus Christ returns. We will be like Him. Okay? So this is the picture, Hugo. Woo! Amen? Wow. What does it mean to be without sin? What does it mean to be without struggling to sin? That's why when Bible talks about like heaven, lion and lamb, they will not fight. Whenever I think about that verse, I think about my kids. They will not fight anymore. Wow. No more sin. Okay? We'll be like Christ. Okay? Now, let's go to phase five of glorification process. This is what's happening in your heart. Okay? And what's going to happen? The endless growth of glory in us. Okay? Look at this. God is committed, according to Romans 8, verse 29, "For those God foreknew, He also predestined to do what?" His plan is to do what? To be conformed to the likeness of His Son. He's committed so that we can be like Jesus, not only in our sinlessness, but, you know, continuously growing to be more and more like Jesus eternally. Now, how great and awesome is Jesus? You know, Jesus has human nature, but also He has divine nature. So to be like Jesus means we will be infinitely, eternally be growing as well. Okay? Now, look at this verses like this. Ephesians 3:19, "And we know that this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." Not only is He blessing us, but all the fullness of God is infinite, and He's going to continuously pour His love upon us, growth upon us, into us eternally. Look at verses like this. We are participating in divine nature. We will never be God. right? But we will always grow to be more and more like Jesus. Okay? Look at this picture now. Heaven. Woo! Okay. Now that capacity. So, you know, according to this is idea of theologian named Jonathan Edwards. He says our hearts, you know, that hearts are like bowls. Okay? So present fight, how much we fight on earth, we are growing on that spiritual side. It's like a bowl, right? So there's degree of reward in heaven, right? As how much we fight on this earth is going to determine the degree of reward in heaven. Now, what is reward in heaven? According to the Bible, reward is God himself. God is going to pour himself upon us. And depending on the size of our bowl, right, we will grow more and more. We will receive more and more of Christ. More and more of God, greater joy. And through that, we're going to continuously grow to be more and more like Jesus. But the degree of reward, how much we can receive, God, is determined by how much we fight on this earth. Right? So there'll be great joy continuously receiving. That's why 1 Corinthians chapter 13 at the end, it says, faith, hope, and love will always be there forever. Meaning, faith will be condition of our heart because we need to receive through faith, receive his grace, receive pouring of himself so that we can continuously grow to be more and more like Jesus. Some people think that heaven will be a boring place playing harp and do nothing, right? But heaven will be one of the most exciting places. And we can continue to learn, we can continue to grow, we can continue to worship, and we will continue to continuously be growing to be more and more like Christ. There'll be greater and greater joy every day that we'll have and we will look forward to in heaven. Now, listening to something like that, some of you are thinking like this, but one guy came to me and asked me, Pastor, man, yeah, can I ask a weird question? Yeah. What? He goes, is there sex in heaven? So I had to think theologically. And according to the Bible, there'll be a lot of things in heaven, but all of our relationships will be brothers and sisters in Christ. So there'll be no sexual relationship in heaven. So if I say that, he would want to go somewhere else, right? So, okay, then I'm not going to go there. So this is what I said. You know, there might not be specific sexual activity in heaven, but there'll be joy of sex in heaven. Meaning, think about whatever we like on this earth, it's not that, that is not what we like, but the joy or the pleasure that it gives is what we like. That's why what we like or what we are addicted to constantly changes. So in heaven, you know, whatever the joy that sexual relationship is giving on this earth is just a glimpse of what we are going to, joy that we are going to experience in heaven, the fellowship and the intimacy that we're going to experience in heaven. So we might not have certain activities that you're looking for, certain items and things you're looking for, but the pleasure that it gives in holiness, multiplying million times, there'll be that kind of joy in heaven. So he was convinced a little bit at that time. Okay, all right, okay. But of course, you know, as he understood more, you know, he was utterly convinced after that. So mapping out this picture, think about it. This life is just the beginning, right? So we're just in the process. You have to look at the process of what's happening. You heard from Pastor Sam. That's why I have five children. Yep, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They're all biological children, right, with my one wife. And I've been in the birthing room for every single one of them, right? When my wife was giving birth, my goodness, I was so thankful I was a male. And I think God gave women, you know, privilege to give birth because men are wimps and they cannot handle it. Oh, my goodness, I'm looking, thank you, Lord. And I was there as much as I can with prayer and support. And then, you know, when she was holding hands, I, oh, Lord, thank you, you know, we're praying together. But I was, of course, trying to think of my putting my shoes in her perspective. My goodness. But there was a one moment when she was giving the first child. One moment I really thought about from the perspective of the child. And I was thinking, wow, what would he be thinking? He's probably inside the womb, you know, warm, swimming, doing nothing but getting fed, you know. He thinks that's his world. And then what happens? When his life is nice and peaceful and sound, what happens? Psst, flood. Tsunami. And then what happens? He starts to rotate. Whoa! And then what happens? He's going into black hole. And then what happens? I think he thinks he's dying. That's why all the babies cry when they're coming out. Basically, they're saying, I'm dead. That's what they're... But that's how we think in our life. You know, we think this world is everything. And when we die, that's the end. Oh, I'm dead. But that's only the beginning of our life. All the things we go through is, come on guys, according to C.S. Lewis, it's just a title page. Much more ahead. But how we live, what we do in this life, has a consequence, not only in our spiritual life in eternity, but many, many other people. And I pray that we need to live a worthwhile, purposeful life. Every minute counts for the glory of God. Let's go to last 2 points pretty quickly. Third is redemptive history. Chapter 9 through 11 talk about Jews and Gentiles. Basically, the passage is saying Jesus is the center of everything. Okay? That's what Romans chapter 10 verse 12 is saying. For there is no difference between Jews and Gentiles. Why? Because Jews were looking forward to Jesus and Gentiles are looking back to Jesus who came. Everyone can be saved by Jesus Christ when they look at Jesus. Old Testament, whole Old Testament is basically saying Jesus is coming. Whole New Testament is saying Jesus came and is coming again. That's the Old Testament. So everyone, that's why we're, oh, sorry about that. Sorry about that. That's coming. Verse 13 says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Okay? Basically, Old Testament people were saved by looking at Jesus that is coming, putting their faith in Jesus Christ. They knew Jesus was coming. They knew Messiah was coming. And so many things were pointing forward to Jesus. And we never saw Jesus just like the Old Testament people, but we believe in Jesus Christ who came. So through Jesus Christ, everyone will be saved. Basically, that's what it is. Okay? Meaning, the whole Old Testament and New Testament is a story. It's all connected. All history, all of us, generations are connected through the story of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is saving his people. God is defeating evil. Just like all the Lord of the Rings, like hobbits, little guys, you know, fighting with warriors, a little bit bigger guys, fighting against bigger people, evil, trying to capture the power through the means of the ring, right? And that's everything, like Beauty and the Beast, fighting against evil and, you know, trying to get his beauty back. All these things, like a story, it's like a story of the gospel. Okay? Our whole history is connected. And God is seen through the perspective of Jesus Christ and redemption. That's what history is. That's basically what Romans 9 through 11, my interpretation of it is. So when we look at history, okay, we have to look at it from redemptive history. World thinks that political figures are the important figures. But according to the Bible, the people in the Bible were not necessarily important political figures, not even important figures during that time, even small people. But to God, they were the important people. For example, Nebuchadnezzar had all the titles of CNN headline during that time. But Daniel had headlines of heaven. Pharaoh, superpower at the time, Egypt, superpower at the time, had the title, but Moses was the headline of heaven. Herod had a title, but Joseph and Mary, probably no one knew at the time. had the headline of heaven. Obama, Hu Jintao has all the headlines now, but Solomon's porch has a headline of heaven. That's how God looks at history. Again, there we go. Kim Jong-il, you know, passed away, just like his father, Kim Il-sung, passed away. And, you know, Kim Jong-un is in power. And this is one of my Facebook posts that I wrote. One of the cruelest leaders of one of the cruelest kingdoms, Kim Jong-il, died just as his father, Kim Il-sung, died. One day North Korea in its cruelty and suffering will be but a distant memory in human history. But Jesus Christ, our King, lives forever, and His kingdom is an eternal kingdom, and His dominion endures from generation to generation. And this is a history of salvation, history of redemption in Jesus Christ. One more thing here. Missions, Romans 12 to 16. You know, this passage is important, Romans 12, verse 1. You know this verse. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. You know what he's saying? Just about everything here is in plural, except living sacrifices, singular. Now, NIV, I was using NIV, you know, verse, a translation there, but that means all of us are living to picture one person, one, which is Jesus Christ. That's Church of Jesus Christ. All of us, after we are saved, whatever we are doing, however we're living as a Church of Jesus Christ, all Christians, are working together to be Jesus Christ, who dead sacrifice. Now we are to be living sacrifice, meaning we are picturing Jesus Christ together as a body of Christ. That's our mission. Meaning wherever we are, whatever we do, we picture Jesus. We talk about Jesus. We show Jesus. So the whole world will see Jesus in us and through us. Amen? That's what mission is. There are four aspects of mission here. Your relationship with Jesus Christ matters, because your ministry depends on your relationship with God. Okay? There's we aspect of missions, because we do this together. Because to picture Jesus Christ, who is infinite, we need all the help we can get. So we need diversity, diverse ethnicity, males and females. We need all kinds of people. Okay? You don't have to be man-centered in terms of missions, meaning we need to save dying souls. Of course, that's important, but we need to save dying souls so that each and every one of them can worship Jesus, glorify Jesus, picture Jesus, so that God will be glorified more. That's what mission should be about. So there's we aspect of mission. As church together, we need to come together, worship together, and we need to serve one another so we grow strong, so we become the means of how God is changing this world. There's we aspect of mission. There's here, meaning mission is not, again, like not just going, you know, to places that are unreached, place in different countries in the world, but here, right now, God is using us. Okay? God is using Christians over there. God is using Christians here. Of course, some of us need to go to some different parts of the world, but right now, wherever we are, we need to show Jesus. That's why chapter 12 talks about living sacrifice. Chapter 12 also talks about body of Christ, church serving one another. Chapter 13 about government. Christians ought to have good relationship with government so that there will be good atmosphere to preach the gospel. Chapter 14 talks about edifying in the body of Christ for maximum edification. And chapter 15 talks about missions. So basically, wherever you are, you need to show Jesus. And then, of course, there's we hear their aspect. Like Paul, Romans 15:20, says, it has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. Basically, he's saying there are some people who need to go to different parts of the world and preach the gospel. Now, we're living in 21st century, amen? That means you know, before we used to, missionaries used to go to mission field on a ship. So it took a few months. So I know a lot of missionaries who went to different countries taking coffin because they couldn't come back. So when you hear that, what does it do? Something, right? I know this church has that kind of heart. But we don't have to do that anymore. We need to keep that heart. But we don't have to do that anymore because we have something called airplane. So I came here, different parts of the world. There's 14-hour difference. Is it 14? Something like that. 14-hour difference. I came in less than a day. Okay? That means all you guys are doing some incredible things. Different parts of the world. You can go anywhere in the world. Right? And strategically going to places. Different parts of the world and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Showing Jesus, being Jesus in those places. I believe there's something spiritual about people who have Christ. And you by being in this room, are shining. You go to a coffee shop, you're carrying Jesus. You're not just carrying MasterCards, guys. You're carrying Jesus Christ. And that room is different simply because you are present in that place. I believe, you know, you need to prayerfully, strategically live in a place. Not just, I'm going to talk about this throughout the, you know, throughout this weekend. But you deciding where to live is very important. Okay? I'm going to talk more about that. But because we can do that in 21st century. I got to keep going. I wish I could dwell on that a little bit more. What is that? Is this working? They don't want to see me. Oh. That's okay. I was going to show Galatian passage. Oh, okay. We talked about this. We're there. Oh, yeah. I love this verse. They only heard the report. The man who formerly persecuted is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. Talk about Paul giving testimony. And Paul is saying this. And they praise God because of me. And he's not showing off there. He's saying, Jesus inside of me, what Jesus has done for me. I pray that this will happen. This will be testimony of all of us. They praise God because of me. Not they praise me because of me. But they praise God because of me. I pray that that will happen. One illustration and one movie clip were done. There's a Japanese emperor who loved art, you know. And he especially wanted, at this point of his life, a bird, picture of a bird. So he asked the, you know, master, the most famous one in the country, to draw the bird for him. And artist said, well, okay. And then it took him about 2 years, still wouldn't draw the bird. So he called him after 2 years. You know, did you draw the bird yet? Oh, no, not yet. Oh, you want me to draw now? Yeah. So he, in about 30 minutes, he draws the bird. He finishes it. Emperor goes, well, I asked you 2 years ago, why didn't you draw it then? Why do you draw it now in 30 minutes, if you can do it in 30 minutes? Oh, you want me to explain to you why? Yes. Can you wait just a minute? He goes out on a horse. He carries this pile of paper. He puts it down. This part, I had to practice drawing wings. This part, I had to practice drawing legs. This part, I had to practice drawing the head. That's why it took 2 years. Now, that's why I'm able to draw this in 30 minutes. I had to practice during these times. I was thinking, we are just like that. Right? We need time to practice. Every time you serve somebody with your hands, you're drawing the hand of Jesus Christ. Every time you go to a place that you don't want to go to, you're drawing the feet of Jesus Christ. Every time you don't want to say something, you don't want to say something, you don't want to speak to people, some people, and you out of love for Christ, you speak to them, you're drawing the lips of Christ. And as we do that, together, okay, we are drawing Jesus. I pray that that will happen in our lives. Wherever we go, wherever we are, together, showing Jesus through our, what we say and how we live. Our life is like a story, and we don't like, sometimes some people do not like fairy tales because it's too unrealistic. Well, when you look at just a snapshot of life, fairy tale is unrealistic. It's too happy, right? But when you look at the whole perspective of whole life, whole eternity, you know, our eternity has fairy tale endings. Jesus is the hero that slays the dragon. As beastly sinners, will be loved by the beauty forever. The end is only the beginning, and the next chapter will always be better than the one before. Let's see this clip, and we're done. This clip is about this Olympic runner, and he was you know, predicted to win, but he's gonna fail. He's gonna fall down. He's, you know, pulls his muscle, and while he's trying to finish, we're going to see his father running to him, helping. Some people, if I don't explain that, you know, people don't understand what's going on, but we're going to see his father trying to run and help him. Let's see this. See this clip.
Your face. When you lose something you can't replace.
Derek Redmond, the best form he's shown since he broke the British record. The Cuban Hernandez has got Redmond to aim at, and so too in lane number three is Steve Lewis. But Redmond's got off very fast indeed, and so too is Ismail of Qatar. Down the back straight, he's the fractional leader. Father of Nigeria has gone very quickly, and Redmond has broken down. He's on the track, kneeling down, and
I think that's kind of like what Christian life is like. We fall, we fail, but our God is always be with us, helping us, guiding us, loving us, protecting us, helping us, and keep on running. Never quit. Let's pray for a few minutes, and I'll lead prayer for a few minutes. I think Pastor Sam will come out after that and take over just leading us into the throne. Okay? And let's just pray for a few minutes and just meditate and think about it and reflect. I believe Lord will speak to you, you know, in your heart. Some of you need to, you know, be free. Be free. Some of you need to be free from your discouragement. Some of you need to be free from the condemnation, self-condemnation, or fear of people's condemnation of us, or even self-condemnation. You need to be free from that sin. You need to repent of that kind of condemnation. Stop being God. Stop putting others in God's place. Put God in His place. And in Christ, He says, "You no condemnation for you. Because my Son died as you. You are as righteous as my Son. And I love you. Not because you did better yesterday. I love you in spite of the fact that you sinned yesterday and you will sin tomorrow. I love you with infinite eternal love because that's how much I love my Son." And when you pray, He will never turn His face away from you because He never turns His face away from Jesus. He will listen to your prayer. Be free from condemnation. Be free. From discouragement. And let's pray for some miracle to some of you. You have sins that you cannot talk about to others. Let's pray for freedom. God will do some miracles. Different kinds of addictions. Let's pray for a few minutes. Be free from fear of failure. So that you can commit once again. So many of us, we make choices because we are driven by failures. Be free, you blessed children of God. Be free. Not sinful freedom, like, oh, I can do whatever I want now. But be free to love God. Be broken away from sin. Pray for brokenness. from the addiction to sins, free to love, free to live maximum for the glory of God. Couple of you are in fear of the demonic forces. Be free. One who is in you is infinitely greater than the one who causes you fear. Don't worry too much about whatever you hear, whatever you see, even if you see some demonic work. Hey, they should be afraid of you. Okay? Don't worry. Be free.
Thank you, Pastor Min. Let's just continue to pray. And I think the message was so rich, so many different things, and you know, so much information. But more than that, I think a lot of things that can transform our hearts. And so let's just spend a moment and just continue to be with the Lord. And if there's something specifically that Pastor Min shared from the scriptures that really hit home to you, let's just ask the Lord to really process that right now in our hearts. So let's dig a little deeper, you know, and ask Pastor Nate to lead us in a song. And as he's singing, you know, just whatever it is, just ask the Lord, you know, that there was something, and I felt it a few times as he was sharing. It's like something just kind of leapt in my heart, you know, and I knew this is what I needed to hear, you know, something that my soul just grabbed a hold of. And I felt like that's a lot of you in this place as well. There are a couple, you know, instances throughout the time where something just, like you felt just something leap in your heart. Now let's ask God to take us deeper in that. And that whatever He wants to do with that word or that charge or that encouragement would just sink real deep. Well, let's ask Holy Spirit to take that from our head down to our heart and that it would start manifesting in our lives. And so let's just continue to go before God and say, God, I learned so many great truths, God. I was reminded of some things, Lord. And now just take it deeper, God. Let it churn within me. You know, remember in the scriptures when John, you know, the revelator, when he was there, remember the Lord said, here, come and eat it. Right? It was a scroll. And he said, it was sweet to my lips and it was bitter in my stomach. You know, And it's the same process here, right? It was you, when you heard it was good. But then after you heard it, the Spirit started doing its work inside of you, and then it became bitter. In other words, it was working inside. And so let's ask the Lord now to take what was sweet to our lips. Let's ask Him to churn it into our very being and our spirit. And so let's just continue to go to the Lord. And Pastor Nate, you could lead us, you know, in singing. And let's just ask God to take us a little deeper. And the truth that God has expressed through Pastor Min would now begin to live even more so in our own lives. So let's just continue to go before the Lord.
Even though I walk through the valley, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, Your perfect love is casting out fear. Even when I'm caught in the valley of this, I won't turn back, I know You are. And I will fear no evil, for my God is with me. And if my God is with me, whom then shall I fear? Whom then shall I fear? Through the storm, oh no, never let go. Every high and every low, oh no, never let go. Lord, You never let go of me. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, Your perfect love is casting out fear. Even when I'm caught in the middle of the storms of this life, I won't turn back, I know You are near. And I will fear no evil, for my God is with me. If my God is with me, whom then shall I fear? Whom then shall I fear? Oh no, never let go. Through the calm and through the storm, oh no, never let go. Every high and every low, oh, no, You never let go, Lord, You never let go of me. I can see a light, and I can see a light that is coming for the heart that holds on. A glorious light beyond all compare. There will be an end to these troubles, but until that day comes, we'll live to know You here on the earth. And I will fear no evil, for my God is with me. And if my God is with me, whom then shall I fear? Whom then shall I fear? Oh no, You never let go. Through the calm and through the storm, oh no, You never let go. Every high and every low, oh no, You never let go. never let go, Lord, you never let go of me. Yes, I can see a light. Yes, I can see a light that is coming for the heart that holds on. And there will be an end to these troubles, but until that day comes, still I will praise you. Still I will praise you. Yes, I can see a light that is coming for the heart that holds on. And there will be an end to these troubles, but until that day comes, still I will praise you. Still I will praise you. Never let go through the calm and through the storm. Oh no, you never let go every high and every low. Oh no, you never let go, Lord, you never let go of me. We're singing, oh no, you never let go. Through the calm and through the storm, oh no, never let go. Every high and every low, oh no, you never let go. Lord, you never let go of me.
Let's just take a moment and let's just continue to give thanks to the Lord that never lets go of us. Huh? Give thanks to the God that releases no condemnation upon us in Christ Jesus. And whatever we're feeling in our hearts, let's just turn that into praise and thanksgiving and just love and say, God, I just thank you. I thank you for the cross and what it represents. But I thank you for the sinless life that you lived. Took all of our shame and all of our pain upon you, God. Lord, we just thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's just begin to worship Him with thanksgiving and worship Him with the praise that's in our hearts. And all this made possible because of Jesus. Let's take a moment just to thank Him for that. Lord, we thank you, God. We thank you, Jesus. Bless you. We're going to pray and we're going to close the service and let you guys go home and sleep and we have a full day tomorrow. But if you want to stay and you know come to the front or in your seat and just continue to pray, you know, please you know continue to do that. If you want to have someone pray with you, you know, just raise your hand and we'll have some people come near you as well and just minister to you and as we minister to the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, and Lord, we love you for who you are, God. You never give up on us, Lord. God, what I think about even as Pastor Min was sharing today, God, about a lot of suffering, a lot of problems, and a lot of situations, God, that people, God, in our community and around us are going through, Lord. And it's not that we just disregard that, Father God, but Lord, there's so much, God, there is so much in eternity, Lord, that you have for us. This is just a blink of an eye. And maybe we're so temporal, God, and we're so focused on the now and the here and what's going on, God. But there is so much more for us, Lord. Like Pastor Min said, God, that the next chapters are being written, God, and they're even more glorious, Lord. And so, Lord, give us an eternal perspective, God. Give us eyes to see beyond the now, God. God, into the full revelation, God, of your Son in our lives. God, we thank you, God. We feel like, Lord, we went to a buffet tonight, God, and ate so fully of your word. And so we pray now that you'd help us to digest it, God. Lord, to cause that word, God, that food, Lord, to be energy, God, to be nourishment. Lord, to do all that you've called us to do, God, to be faithful, Lord. And so we thank you for the opportunity, God, that you give to us now. We bless you, Lord. We love you, God. And so we pray that you, Lord, give us good rest tonight, God. Be with Pastor Min. Help him to get over his jet lag even more, God. And use him, God, through the rest of this anniversary, Lord, to bring your people closer to you, God. We bless you, Lord. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray.